Join me now, Rabbi Yaakov Menken, who is, he's got a big title now, Vice President of something. What is it again, Rabbi?
Executive Vice President, Coalition for Jewish Values.
Man, I got to commit that to memory. EVP.
Yeah, that's it. You got to have Patriot give me a call. I mean, I could afford to save some money on my phone bills. Why not?
I know. They said they wanted to sponsor. I got three
if you
phones.
Say they wanted, totally. I want to hear from them. Why not?
I'm going to get Glenn personally to call you up today to jot that down, because he says I want to sponsor the rabbi. So you need to switch. Great service. Rabbi, first of all, happy Passover.
Thank you so much. Great to be with you on the Passover holiday.
I know. Very nice.
And on video, no less.
I know. I like the video, right? You got your nice office there, the good backdrop, got a nice blue tie on. You're looking good.
I spent thousands of dollars on my Zoom backdrop here.
You go in your office in Baltimore, Maryland, of all places, right?
Yeah.
Last time I was, I only go there for two things. I go there for the Preakness. And when the Astros are playing the Orioles, I go to an Astro game there. It just happens to be in Camden Yards.
Preakness is a mile from my house.
It is?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Camden Yards is a nice way away, but yeah, Preakness right here.
So you live right downtown.
It's actually the Northwest.
Yeah, but I mean, it's right in the middle of stuff.
Northern Parkway. Yeah, it's
now they've the owner of the Preakness has put a lot of money in that refurbishing it. I'm looking forward. It's almost done. I mean, I remember I used to go there. The bathrooms leaked, and it was like falling apart. But they put a lot of money in there. Actually, it's a beautiful track, so I'm going to get back out there for the big races. Now, Trump administration says to Harvard, okay, you don't want to. You don't want to protect Jewish students. Fine. $2.2 billion gone. Reaction.
Well, look at Harvard's reaction to that. Harvard said, we're not playing games with the Trump administration. We are not legally obligated to do this. First of all, they are legally obligated to do it. You know, it's called Title VI. They want any federal funding at all. But you know what? They're not. What there is definitely no law. There is no law that says the government has to hand money to a university, especially if it's violating its contractual terms. If it's not observing Title VI, it's not following Title VI, it's not entitled to federal funding. So Harvard has to correct the problem. The biggest problem that they have is that it's not just, and they said so explicitly in their, you know, in what they're refusing to do. They said, we're not interested in the government controlling our curriculum. The point is, we want the right to hire anti-Semites, have anti-Semites teaching anti-Semitism instead of offering actual education, and we want the taxpayer to pay for it. Well, that's not happening.
Well, why would we do that?
Because people are crazy. I mean, it's been going on for decades at this point. Universities are places that used to teach actual history, anthropology, religion, geography. That doesn't happen anymore, at least not where Jews are concerned. We're going to replace actual history with mythology about a place called Palestine, which is, of course, a colonialist moniker for Israel. We're going to talk about, you know, falsify the geography. Palestine happens to be, just coincidentally, happens to be the entire state of Israel. Ever notice that? The English and the Welsh and the Scottish can't even figure out precisely what the borders are. To have the borders be precise like that, to back to indigenous homeland, that requires that you go be a small island, you know, like out in the Pacific. Any substantial body of land, the aboriginal tribes of Australia each have homelands that are in Australia, but not the whole continent. You go talk about Israel, all of a sudden the Palestinians claim our indigenous homeland just happens to be precisely the boundaries of Israel. What does that tell you?
Let me ask you something. Why are these liberal universities now such hotbeds for anti-Semitism? What happened?
Well, first of all, they're not liberal at all. It is the most illiberal, illiberal, intolerant environment now, as far as, and this has been going on for years, but there was a recent survey, I forget which campus it was, but something like 96% of the professors were registered Democrats, to 4% being Republicans. And not a penny had been given to a Republican candidate by any professor on that campus. Whereas, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars had gone to Democratic candidates. So, you know, that's what's going on. They want their one idea to be taught. And multiple students will tell you now that you can't dissent the way that when I was a student, it was totally common. I went to Princeton. It was totally common for me to say things that the university professors totally disagreed with, but they would still give me a good grade if my argument was cogent and good and I'd done my research. That's not true anymore. You have to be willing to toe the party line. And there've been story after story about this. People just saying, you know, we won't have you on. We're not going to give you a good grade unless you conform to our ideology. The question is not, what are your own ideas and how well you argue it and how well you study the material? It's how well you have accepted my indoctrination to believe like I do. And the second thing that's gone on, of course, is this total reinvention of Middle Eastern history over the last 30 years. Just absolutely ridiculous. And I can prove it to you. It used to be that on campuses, there were actual protests against real genocides, Rwanda, Bosnia, you know, places like that, and Darfur, places where students actually made a difference in the priorities of the country. And today, that doesn't even happen anymore. There's real genocides going on around the world, and students are not touching it because they're too busy protesting against the Jews having a homeland.
Let's get to the phone lines. We're with Rabbi Yaakov Menken on Passover Week. The rabbi is the executive vice president of the Coalition of Jewish Values. Live in Baltimore, one block from
Pimlico. 1 mile from the Preakness.
1 mile from Pimlico Racetrack. Very nice. I gotta stop by his house, knock on his door when I'm there.
we'll work that out.
Let's go to Joe in Pennsylvania. Joe, you're on with the rabbi.
Yes, I have a comment about Clinton and NAFTA. All the previous living presidents were standing behind him, and he said, "We know what's best for you."
Okay.
Yeah, just to include the other presidents along with him.
Well, yeah. Well, everybody was for NAFTA back then, except me and Pat Buchanan, and the guy, the independent that ran for president, Perot, right? Everybody else was for NAFTA. Right. Well, thank you.
Three of you.
Okay. Thank you. Executive vice president. That's what I said. Executive vice president. I said that.
Oh, I said that to Tyler. That was the Chiron said managing director. They hadn't upgraded my title yet.
Oh man. You know what? We have took us 5 years to finally figure out managing director. And you went ahead and you got a promotion.
And then we changed it. That's right.
I know. It's got me so
You're
confused.
Still the Godzilla of the truth. We know who you are. That's great.
I know. Well, that's because I don't like change my title every six months. Okay. Tyler says he's got that straightened out. What is your message to Jews in this country right now that are still voting for Democrats? Like what? I mean, they're all anti-Semites. And they still vote for the Democrats. Like, what is your message to them on Passover?
Well, you know, I've seen entirely too many on the Jewish Democratic leftist clutching at straws, trying to find some pretense why they don't like Trump, why they do like the Democrat. There's just too much evidence here. We're just seeing it happen. If Chuck Schumer is saying explicitly to university presidents, and there's that correct, Chiron. Thank you so much, Tyler. Now that we've got that straight, you know, get the university straight. If these universities are not willing to change course, and Chuck Schumer is saying to them, your problem is only with Republicans. You don't have a problem with Democrats. Let that be your guide. The Chuck Schumer, who is, of course, Jewish, is telling the universities, don't worry, the Democrats are not going to come down on you It's only Republicans who are going to ensure that Jews are safe on campus. You cannot look at the campus today and say that's anti-discrimination in practice, that that's acceptable dialogue. What's going on when they're blocking and vandalizing university buildings at Columbia, when they're finding a Jew with a yarmulke to harass at Harvard, when they're not letting students walk to their classes at UCLA. That is bigotry. That is hate. And by the way, you know who used to get in the way of opposition events to prevent them from happening? The Hitler Youth. It's time for a change there, guys. You've got to change your vote and vote for the party that seems to actually care about freedom and safety for all.
I mean, I hate to say it, but that is a pretty accurate historical example you just gave. What you just said, because in Germany at the time of the rise of the Nazis, they're the ones at the campuses that stood between every person that was not particularly engaged with their agenda. So that's a pretty real example. You hate to, you know, make that comparison, Rabbi, but it's quite true.
The Hitler Youth helped the Nazis consolidate power through suppressing everybody else's voice, disrupting their events. You look around at college campuses today, you see the same stuff going on. At Princeton, there was just a disruption and which forced the event to be shortened. A discussion with Naftali Bennett, the former prime minister of Israel, comes to Princeton, talks to students. They specifically don't advertise the venue because they didn't want the disruption to happen, for which various people at Princeton demonized the Center for Jewish Life and the Chabad for not advertising the location. Well, why do you think they didn't advertise the location? Because they didn't want this to happen. They didn't want that disruption. The disruption of opposition events is a classic tactic of the Hitler Youth. So all these kids running around shouting Nazi at everybody else are the ones who are following the indoctrination of the, you know, the stormtroopers.
What's Netanyahu going to do? And I've got Jewish friends of mine, very high places, that are not fans of his, that believe that he's secular, that he doesn't really hold Jewish values or the traditions, that he's corrupt. I mean, I have a lot of high-level Jewish friends that think he's the problem. Are they accurate here?
By no stretch is he the problem. I mean, I would go with you on there's a lot to criticize about him, that he is primarily secular. He follows some religious traditions. He's not heavily into it. There's a lot he doesn't do. But when it comes to prosecuting this war, for example, there is no page on which he is the problem, except to the degree that the government underestimated the willingness of Hamas to do October 7th. They were all into this idea that the Hamas wants to build social services. They want to get their population further behind them. They want to do business. They don't, you know, they'll do little things to keep their people excited, but they're not going to do what they proceeded to do. And that was a huge mistake. And the entirety of the government is responsible for that, including Netanyahu himself. But, you know, to look at the prosecution of the war, absolutely, he's got to win that war. That's what he has to do. What's he going to do? He's going to win that war. He knows it because there's no political future for him if he doesn't eradicate Hamas. Hamas define has to lay down weapons. Winning the war means laying down the weapons and releasing the hostages. It does not mean a ceasefire. A ceasefire means prepping for the next round, allowing Hamas to rebuild their arsenal and go at it again, which they have proudly said they're going to do, by the way. They're very clear about that. So anybody who's calling for a ceasefire is either hopelessly naive or just wants Hamas to do it again, which is, of course, their genocidal agenda of eliminating the Jews, first in Israel, then everywhere else. Don't worry, they're coming for the Jews in America, and they're coming for everybody else in America, too, because you value decency, morals, values. These are all things that Hamas has demonstrated that they hate. And that's why they have their agents on campuses across America doing this dirty work of promoting their agenda. The problem here is most definitely not Netanyahu. It's the people who are telling him, oh, don't prosecute the war. Don't finish the war. The stupidity, excuse me, of calling it genocide. Genocide is a term when the intent is to harm a population. The intent. That means there is no credible alternative. The person calling it genocide is a person who is saying that the Israelis could not possibly be in it to release the hostages, to save their hostages. Jewish lives are so without value, says the person calling it genocide, that that can't possibly be what the Israelis are about. The Israelis just want to kill Arabs. That's what it's about. Oh, really? I mean, that person has absolutely Hitler's attitude towards Jewish lives, sorry to say. And yet you hear it all over Europe and all over the American campus.
When you say there's agents of Hamas on U.S. college campuses, can you expand on that? We got a couple more minutes, Rabbi.
Well, that's actually not a heavy lift. You know, we think about this, it's like, what do you mean, Hamas agents on campus? Excuse me, National Students for Justice in Palestine. Within 2 days of the horrific Hamas massacre in Israel, they produced a toolkit. Now, how did they produce a toolkit in 48 hours? The obvious answer, it begs the question, you know, the obvious answer to which is, well, it's clear that they didn't. They had it going in advance. They knew something was going to happen. They may not have known all the details, but they certainly knew that Hamas was going to attack Israel and do so with the commission of horrific crimes. We're not just talking about the kidnapping, which is horrific and a war crime every single day that it goes on, but the rapes, the beheadings, the burnings of babies. And you know what National SJP said in that toolkit? We're not allied with that. We're not in solidarity with that. We are part of that. Every member of National SJP is part of Hamas, part of a foreign terror organization. In a sane America, every member of SJP and every university administrator that provided funding to SJP on their campus and space in the classrooms and the ability to hold rallies on campus,
they're all complicit.
Would all be facing federal charges because it's a federal offense to support a foreign terror organization.
You're very convincing, Rabbi. That's why I love having you on. You're very convincing. And I got a lot of high-level Jewish friends that don't see it the way you're seeing it, but you're very clear. You give me evidence to go back and talk to them when I spend time with them. People want to follow you. Where do they go? Quickly.
Well, I am Y. Mencken, and the organization Coalition for Jewish Values is CJ Values on your social media and cjvalues.org.
Rabbi, happy Passover. Thanks for being with us.